So to that, we can welcome the return of Yeshua, our Messiah. He's coming back. First of all, and secondly, to prepare us for whatever new shocks and adjustments God wants us to make in our lives as he seeks to manifest more fully in us. You know, God is trying to get inside you and take over. You got to let him. The Temple of Solomon that they built. Solomon built the temple because David was a warrior and he wasn't allowed. But in the Temple of Solomon, there were 24 pillars. Pillars are big concrete posts, right? Pillars, not the kind you sleep on. There were 12 each within the two brass pillars. And these pillars weren't made out of concrete. They were made out of brass. And they were known as Yachin on the right and Boaz on the left, according to 1 Kings 7:21 and 2 Chronicles 3:17. Yachin, Boaz. All right, so what do we do in America? We read from left to right, right? And we might be tempted to view these as the pillars of Boaz and Yachin. But no, we all know that Hebrew is read right to left, right? That's right. That's correct. You never say that's right when you're giving directions. Turn right here, left. Correct? Right. You can get me all screwed up. I'm teaching my granddaughter how to drive, and I told her that, and she almost went into a cement truck. So be careful. Anybody needs to know when she's out driving, give me a call. I'll give you her schedule. Yeah, it's a tough life. All right, we all know we read Hebrew right to left, okay? And so when you're looking at sacred at special structures, we must invert the way we traditionally view things, always beginning on the right. These are the pillars of Yachin and Boaz, okay? That's the way it is in the Bible, I think. In Hebrew, Yachin means he will establish. He will establish. And Boaz means swiftness. So combined, this is the message those two pillars tell you. He, who's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, God, will establish what lies between that and that, what lies between and that which is represented beyond the pillars through the doors in the form of the two sacred rooms, and he will do it with swiftness. So God will establish with swiftness all the stuff that's behind those two pillars. He will establish and he will act swiftly. How will he do that? By the means of the two degrees of priesthood which correspond to the Father and to the Son. And that was precisely the message we give concerning Yom Teruah. When Yeshua returns in his Father's name, he will swiftly judge the world and establish the millennial kingdom of righteousness. After 6,000 grueling years of trial and tribulation, culminating in what we call the Great Tribulation, the final 7 years of HaSatan's rule under the Antichrist, Yeshua will return like the sun with a cosmic shout and a shofar blast. Give me a blast. That the whole world will hear. Let's see it. Let's hear it. Raise the dead from their graves. And the dead will be raised from their graves, and he will inaugurate his kingdom beginning at the New Jerusalem. He will call it. Those who are alive, who belong to the first resurrection when he returns, will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? It will be an instantaneous change from mortality into immortality. Wow. So fast, you won't even know it happened. So yes, when Yeshua returns, it will be with swiftness, as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Peter, Revelation 3. They all talk about a thief in the night. Just like the betrothed bridegroom comes to collect his bride. Don't we always talk about that? who has patiently been waiting for his return so that she can go away with him to their new home. Consummate their union and start their new life together. Isn't that what we're going to be doing?
Yeah.
So, for Shabbat Shuva today, let's go back to the pillars of Yachin and Boaz. And to specifically remind you that while it may seem as though God will never intervene in our affairs, that he promises he will do that. And swiftly, at a time when you least expect it, you think you know when it's going to happen. You don't know nothing. Could be right in the middle of a Cornhusker football game. Then what are you going to do? Whoa. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and strong. That's what you're supposed to be doing, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Every single one of us, whether you care to admit it or not, and I include all the leaders in this, at some point or another feels so stretched that he or she wants to give up. Only those who are built on the sure foundation of Yeshua, our Messiah, are able to stand. Those who are not must have their true foundations revealed so that they can repent and return to God. To make teshuvah, about the beginning of the month of Elul, I gave you a whole bunch of sheets of paper that showed you how you could daily make teshuvah. Hope you've been using them. I heard from one of you that you were. Hope there's at least two more. Because that was 100 sheets of paper and like 8 pages each, so that's a lot of paper to help you. I hope you're using them. Well, anyway, for returning, when you return, the same word for return is repent, teshuvah, and this is Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of returning. The bride must return to the bridegroom, but can only do so when the bridegroom comes to collect her. You can't go to the bridegroom till the bridegroom's here. Yeshua said to the assembly at Sardis in Revelation 3:2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." It's a very mysterious passage, right? What are the things which Yeshua wishes us to strengthen? The things that are ready to die. Clearly, these are good things. And unlike the bad things, they must not be allowed to die. They must be strengthened. When we come to the final crunch, as it were, there is always a call to die. God calls for the works of sin to die. And Satan calls for the works of righteousness to die. It is up to us to make a choice. For those who have already been saved, this can be the most critical decision in your lives, and not a few abandon God, sadly. They do. The Sardiacs, what do you want to call them? Were like a rocket off course. And so Yeshua said to them in Revelation 3:2-3, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works, your mitzvot, perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Do your teshuva. Return to God. Let the faith-only people be warned. Our works count a great deal, for all works are rooted in faith, either faith in God or faith in self." And then Yeshua says why he is urgent about this message in Revelation 3:3. "Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I will come upon you." Note very carefully that he comes as a thief upon those who are not watchful. There is no surprise for those who are watching. Yom Teruah comes as no great surprise. Yom Kippur comes as something joyful to us, right? Not something fearful to be dreaded. God always forewarns those who are attentive to him and who are guarding his commandments. those who are liberal in those areas, well, they're always caught unprepared. Isaiah 21:8 says, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime. I have sat at my post every night. Over the years, God has warned us of things to come, both in the world at large and in our personal lives. Would you not warn your children of calamities which you knew were coming? Would you not wish them to be in the right place and at the right time to minimize the negative impact of those things or to avoid them altogether? Of course you would. And our Heavenly Father is no different than us. And it is the job of the priesthood watchers, even like myself, to disseminate warnings to you. I would be remiss if I didn't warn you sometimes that you can have adequate time to go to the Father yourself for confirmation of the message. You could ask him and to respond with whatever measures are needed for your lives. You go do it. No one should, however, assume that the blessings which are given to the watchers automatically belong to those who are too lazy or indifferent to watch out for themselves. For one thing, those who are not watching, and that includes diligent daily scripture study and prayer, almost invariably do not respond to the warnings given by God's watchers. They will not believe because they are no longer tuned into the Ruach. There's the key. The Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh. If a soul is not listening to God, then he will not listen to God's servants either. One who is in particular seeking for others to do his listening for him as a proxy or intermediary will not in any case be able to discern between the true watchers and the false ones, and will almost certainly be deceived by the latter. Therefore, the commandment is watch. You do it yourself. I could stand here and tell you tomorrow the earthquake's going to hit or whatever, but you need to find it out for yourself. Isn't that a Berean? Don't they have to search the scriptures? But some people don't do that. They believe everything that comes along. They search the internet and they get caught up in all these weird things. And also, one more, don't lose your clothes. Again, Yeshua declares in Revelation 16:15, Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, his kittel, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This passage has nothing to do with another admonition of Yeshua to keep our spiritual clothes clean. That was in Revelation 3, 4, and 5. This is far more serious than that. This is about remaining spiritually clothed. I don't mean these things. I'm talking about spiritual clothingness. So many times I've seen those who turn away from God stripped naked, spiritually speaking. They strip themselves naked and immerse themselves in the filthy waters of this world. They abandon life for death. It's a shame to go around naked in public. But what is the shame in going around spiritually naked? It is no longer to be covered by the blood of Messiah Yeshua as it is to no longer enjoy his spiritual tent or his sukkah. It is to no longer be covered by his chuppah or his marriage ceremony, his covering. It is to be alone. You know what it's like to be an orphan? You want to be a spiritual orphan in the world, unsaved and spiritually lost? I know what it's like to be an orphan. I was an orphan, sort of, for a while, until my aunt and uncle took me in and raised me with their two children who... I both lost them both, but they raised me and they loved me and they saw that I grew up. May not have accepted everything, but at least I wasn't an orphan anymore. Therefore, Yeshua says, I will not leave you orphaned. Yeshua's not going to make us orphans. Isaiah 66:13. If you love me, this is Isaiah speaking, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. I'm sorry, that's John 14. And in Isaiah 6:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And that Comforter will be with you forever. The Spirit of truth that the world is not able to receive because it has not seen and does not know, but you know, because the Ruach abides with you and is in you. I will not leave you orphaned, for I will come to you in a little bit. If you love me, keep my commandments, and then I will send you the Ruach. I think the church got that turned around a little bit when they try to save people. In Yeshua, we are never without a father or mother. That's an important thing for me. I've had three mothers in my life. I don't know how many, two fathers. One was very absentee. Three mothers, one of them was very absentee. In Yeshua, we are never without father or mother, like our earthly parents who dressed us when we were little with physical clothing. So our heavenly parents clothe us with spiritual raiment, guarding us, protecting us, hiding us in Messiah. Colossians 3:3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in Elohim. Those who are hidden are not put to shame. The sacred thoughts of their minds and their intimate thoughts of their hearts are hidden in the one who protects them. As a bridegroom protecting the heart of a bride. Don't we say that every week? So we are watched over and taken care of. Those who are not covered at the final Yom Kippur are exposed. They're naked and full of shame. You want to be covered at the final Yom Kippur. For what do we have apart from Messiah to be proud of? Nothing. Unless you like your stuff. But you can't. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul. Rather, we boast only in the cross of our Master Yeshua, the Messiah, by whom the world has been crucified to us and we to the world. So here we stand once again. Oh man, we do it each year, don't we? The Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, the 10 days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. Awaiting our annual judgment, if you're that way. If you have been watchful, if Yeshua remains in us, and we have not walked away from him, then we will have absolutely nothing to fear, nothing whatsoever to fear. We will pass through Yom Kippur in complete shalom, welcoming it, that we might boast in the cross of our Master, which saves us from judgment. Yeshua does save you from judgment. I hope, therefore, that Yom Kippur will be a time for boasting of the atonement of our Messiah, and that we will approach him with clean and undefiled consciences. For if we approach him uncovered, then we will be burned. Our consciences will be seared, unless we are altogether too numbed by sin to have any conscience left for lack of repentance. Let us therefore, as it says in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Can we sing that today? And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. We pass through the gates guarded by the 24 watchmen. And into the inner court of the temple. Wow, what a place to be. We pass between the pillars of Yachin and Boaz. And as we do, we testify that God will establish our faithfulness with swiftness in his own time and way, that we have nothing to fear if we remain watchful, trusting in Yeshua, guarding his mitzvot or his commandments. The key word here is guarding. For if you are trusting in Yeshua but not guarding the mitzvot, then in truth you are not really trusting in Yeshua either. You are placing yourself in the outer court of the temple, which in the great tribulation will be downtrodden by the Gentiles. When we are covered by Yeshua, we do not need to protect ourselves any longer. You don't have to, for he becomes your protection. And when we are no longer indulging in self-protection, then we are free to love. Love, love. We have a choice to either love or protect ourselves. We cannot do both simultaneously because the one excludes the other. If we come to Yom Kippur covered with self-protection, we will discover ourselves to be naked, for it is impossible for a soul to protect and clothe itself in the spiritual sense. And even though a husband can and must spiritually clothe his wife in his own mantle, he cannot clothe himself ever. A husband who is not under the covering of Yeshua cannot clothe or cover his wife. She remains naked, unprotected, and alone also. Now Joshua, the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, he was clothed with filthy garments in Zechariah and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, and this is Zechariah 3:3-5, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on my head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put clothes on him, and the angel of God stood by. What are those filthy garments? Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Now, if Elohim, Matthew 6:30, so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you little faith. Again, I say, be awake and watchful, for drowsiness would clothe a man with rags. Proverbs 23:21. And then Psalm 132, 16-18. I will also clothe Zion's priests with salvation, with Yeshua, and set her apart ones shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. With these promises, why should we not return? Why should we not do Yeshuva if we have perchance wandered off? You stray animal, you. The promises are sure, for the word of God endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, according to 1 Peter 1:25. And then Isaiah 55:11-13. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to God for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And Isaiah 55:7, finally, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and he will have mercy unto him and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. Yom Kippur begins at sunset, like I said, on Tuesday evening. We will commence our annual fast, and then we will gather in his name on Wednesday at 4 p.m. This time, let us gather with hope, with abundant expectation of his goodness, for a real, true teshuva or repentance in our hearts. And that is my prayer for all of you in Yeshua's holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.